ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text 48. Nalini Nalini Cha Prag Dvaravikatra Nimite Avaduta Sakastabhyan Vishayam Yati Sarabham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The chapter is entitled The Characteristics of King Paranjan. And as we probably are aware, the very name Paranjan, of course, is referring to us. We sometimes take the scriptures and think, oh, that is referring to somebody else. But it is, we should first of all see how it is directed towards us. Physician, heal thyself, so to speak. So this Paranjan, this allegorical example given by Narada Muni to help King Prachinibhayashat to realize his condition is really none other than our very self. We are all trying to be the enjoyer within the body. So the body is a city of nine gates that has already been described. Basically, the allegory compares it with Bharat Varsh, this very, unique opportunity or facility platform in order to try to enjoy our unlimited 8,400,000 types of material desires. Srila Prabhupada says there are 8,400,000 species of life because there are 8,400,000 different types of material desire. And in the human form of life, you can taste them all, practically, if you want. Maybe not, but you know, we can endeavor to. And we can cure ourselves so many different bodies. So today we're hearing about one of those aspects of different ways of trying to enjoy our senses. Similarly, in the East, there were two sets of gates. The body, the city of nine gates, refers, of course, to the holes in the body. Just like a city is traditionally, nowadays, not the same, but traditionally the city would have a wall with gates. North gate, south gate, east gate, west gate, this one, that one. Maybe the different direction, or maybe the city it's going to, or the road that leads to it. The gate would be named. So in the body there are different names. Here's Nalini and Nalini. This refers to the? To the what? Pardon? The nostril, or the nose, correct? Nose, nostrils. The two nostrils. Similarly, in the East, there were two sets of gates named Nalini and Nalini. And these were also constructed in one place. Through these gates, the king, accompanied by a friend named Avaduta, used to go to the city of Saurab. Purport, short purport. The two gates named Nalini and Nalini are the two nostrils. The living entity enjoys these two gates with the help of different avadutas or airs, which constitute the breathing process. Through these gates, the living entity goes to the town of Saurab, or aroma. In other words, the nostrils, with the help of their friend, the air, enjoy various aromas in the material world. Nalini and Nalini are the pipes of the nostrils, through which one inhales and exhales, enjoying the aroma of sense pleasure. I don't know if Rome is named after this, but That's the end of the purport. But there's another verse. Now, after Narada Muni describes this allegory to the king was very fascinated but a bit bewildered. So Narada Muni then, as is often the case, had to go through it again in a kind of a more descriptive way or more explanatory way. Just like the Bhagavad Gita, we find Prabhupada describes in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada says, actually Krishna has told Arjuna everything in the second chapter, basically. But it was necessary to expand for the sake of clarification and explanation, and especially for us. Because, you know, we, especially in Kali Yuga, we tend to be a bit slow and maybe a bit inattentive sometimes. I don't know. Nobody here is inattentive, I'm sure. But sometimes I've heard that sometimes we're inattentive. I don't have any problem with that, but maybe some of you do. I'm always inattentive. Not sometimes. But Kali Yuga is a great tendency to be a little bit, you know, drifting. The mind wanders. Ever experienced that? So sometimes you have to repeat things a few times. Three times is one standard. With me, it's like, I don't know, seems like forever. I try to learn a verse. I mean, I might learn one verse before I die if I'm lucky. It's like they don't stick very well. I would recommend when you're young, if you're going to learn verses, you learn them then if you can. Any verse I learned, it was in, you know, when I was in my 20s. I don't think I've learned a single verse since then. They just don't stick. What to do? Kali Yuga brain. Coming from a very sinful background, so, you know, we're kind of, there's only a bit of a brain left up there, if any. Sometimes Prabhupada said it's full of stool, cow stool, cow stool. Anyway, that's pretty good if it's full of cow stool, I guess. But mine's probably full of some other kind of stool. What to do? So today's verse is so Narada Muni explains these verses a little bit more as he goes on later on. And in the 29th chapter, for instance, in the discussion between Narada Muni and King Prachinibahisha, there's a similar verse. Nalini nalini na se gandak soraba uchate grano vadutto muksha syang vipano vagvasa vidvasaha. The two doors named Nalini and Nalini should be known as the two nostrils. And the city named Soraba represents aroma. Basically what Prabhupada said in the purport. The companion spoke of as avaduta is the sense of smell. I haven't got a very good sense of smell, by the way. One of my nostrils is blocked. I don't know what, I'm trying to get it open. The door called mukhya is the mouth. And that goes on to the next facility, next description. Kind of repetition. The word, but Prabhupada writes in the purport, the word avaduta, this is interesting, means most free. Some devotees like to be called avaduta. You know, for various reasons. Well, some devotees like to call other devotees, he's an avaduta. Isn't it? He's saying, oh, Prabhu, he's just an avaduta. Don't worry about him or her. Avadutress, or whatever they call the female ones. So, it means most free. In other words, you want to be free, isn't it? And in one sense, just like we've heard, you know, Paranjan can apply to all of us. In one sense, we're all a bit of an avaduti. You know, we want to be free, don't we? We don't like to be bound up, you know. We like to just, you know, do what I want. Why do I have to follow what you say? Or what Krishna says? All right, that's why we're here. And, you know, both in the material world and why we're here today. But you can be an avadut if you want, or so-called avadut. There are real avadutas, but generally speaking, we're not like that. We like to imitate. We heard the other day about Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was a kind of an avadut, to say the least. We shouldn't imitate this. We're still conditioned souls. And if we try to, then we will. We will be in that situation. We'll have the freedom to take birth in any one of the 8,400,000 species of life. And you can roll around naked all day long, and you can do what you like in some other species of life. But it won't be the human form. Or you can be a nice squiggly snake, or whatever you like to do. or a bird flying in the sky with fancy feathers. So many different nice bodies you can have. So it means most free. A person is not under the rules and regulations of any injunction when he has attained the stage of an avadut. In other words, he can act as he likes. He's transcended. Not that he's just, you know, conditioned soldiers wants to enjoy without any responsibility. The avaduta stage is exactly like air, which does not care for any obstruction. It just goes any old way, picks up whatever comes along, you know. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chanchalam himana krishna pramatti balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayari vasadushkaram. The mind is? What is the mind? Pardon? Like a mountain? Restless. It is restless. You know, can't take rest. The mind never stops. It's always on the go. Even when you're sleeping, the mind, you know, keeps on pounding away. Never stops. It is turbulent. Hey, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said many things, but he said this material world means turmoil and annoyance. Living in this world simply means turmoil and annoyance. You can't change it. We spend our whole energy trying to change it. It does not work. That is the constitution of the material world. It's not a question of changing the material world, it's changing how we see it. It is obstinate. It never gives up. No matter what we do, it comes straight back again. Boom. And very strong. Oh, Krishna. And to subdue it, Arjuna says this, Krishna repeats it, but he says it's possible. Oh, Krishna, and to subdue it, it seems to me more difficult than controlling the wind. The air, very difficult to control. We try to harness it, but you can't stop it. Just as the air or wind cannot be checked by anyone, the two nostrils situated in one place enjoy the sense of smell without impediment. If you have a sense of smell. When the tongue is present, the mouth, that goes on to the tongue. So this is the nature of the senses. They never stop. And we see in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, how so much energy put in there, so much explanation on controlling of the senses. And of course there are different ways of controlling the senses. I remember in 1976, I don't know if any of you were in Mayapur in 76, but Srila Prabhupada was giving every morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. And the subject matter of those Srimad Bhagavatam classes were very interesting. I'm going to read one of the verses that Prabhupada spoke on, if the machine opens it up on the right page. Well done. Modern technology being utilized, Amazon Kindle. Very helpful. If you don't know what they are, they put all Srila Prabhupada's books in, and it's really nice. So in 1976, in March, at the Mayapur Festival, Srila Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam class. Anybody was there that year? You were there, Srila? Very special. Every year was very special. 76 was extremely special. And both 76 and 77, Srila Prabhupada lectured on the same chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Who knows what it was?
Queen Kunti, no.
No. Every morning he lectured. And here in Vrindavan he also lectured on the same chapter in 76, not 77. Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to pacify Lord Nrisingadev. Every morning. And funny enough, there's one lecture which sort of stuck in my mind. And it happens to be one which is kind of relevant to today's verse. So I'm going to read that verse today. This is text 40. Chapter 9, seventh canto. I won't read the Sanskrit because time is short. My dear Lord, this is Prahlad Maharaj praying to Nrisingadev. O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. Now, try to remember the other day, and probably several days, we've been hearing about the intelligence, how this Paranjan comes across a beautiful woman who represents intelligence. So we've got to utilize this on ourselves. And it's not like sometimes, for instance, we hear things and then we start pointing the finger of blame to somebody else or some other thing, such as our past karma, and leave it at that. Or, well, it's my nature, what can I do? Or even sometimes much worse. Different ways of being irresponsible. The same thing here. It's the husband, it's the wife. It says it here, it's the wife. It doesn't really mean, you can take it literally if you really want. But it really means, like in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, if you ever say Yatmakabodhira Kaya Kuranandam Bahushakanayantascha Buryovyavasainam, where Krishna explains to Arjuna, you know, intelligence of those who are resolute is many-branched. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. But the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So this is what it means. It means that your intelligence is many-branched and it's dragged this way and that way. A person who has many wives or objects of sense gratification, all trying to attract him in their own way through different methods, through the different holes in the body. Come and enjoy me through these holes, the eyes, ooh, the tongue, the nose, wow, the ears, really? And I won't mention the other two. But you know what we mean. They're always on the go, looking for some object to enjoy, isn't it? They never stop, practically speaking. Maybe they do to a certain extent, but they're always waiting for an opportunity. For example, the tongue is attracted to... What are we attracted to? Huh? Yeah, especially what? Taste of what? Huh? Oh, you're a devotee. You're a devotee. Holy name, come on. Be real, be honest. What taste do you have? A load of nonsense. I don't have any taste at all. What are we really interested in? Huh? Nice, tasty dishes. You're all waiting for that maha stall to open back there, to be the first one for the rasmalai and the rasgulls and the sandesh. And I hope that prasadam is a bit different than yesterday or whatever it is. Maybe it's a feast today, someone's sponsoring it. Perhaps there's a gulab jamun. Hey, a samosa. Yes. Who's in favor of gulabs? Who wants gulabs for breakfast? Nobody? Only one. They're all yours. Yeah, tasty, palatable dishes. The genitals, of course, are attracted to sex. With an attractive woman, if you're in a woman's body, I guess it's a man. And the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more. And the ear, not attempting to hear about you or Krishna, is generally attracted to cinema songs. I don't know if they had cinema songs during Prahlad Maharaj's day, but anyway, what Prabhupada's translated. Same type of thing. It refers to mundane, gramya katha, and different types of, you know, material music. Just like now, we're only attracted. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes kirtan as two kinds of attraction, you know. There's one kind of attraction, which is our kind of attraction. It's got to be musically attractive, otherwise stuff it. You know, you sing to yourself. I'm off. It's got to be, you know, just right. The musical instruments, the sound, the person who's singing, this and that, everything just right. That's the first stage. It's good. Especially if the person who's singing or the singers, the kirtaniers, are pure in their intention. That brings people by utilization towards an attraction towards the holy name. or some kind of attraction to kirtan. But that's the only one. The real deeper attraction is one actually appreciates and realizes that one is associating with Krishna. That we're actually having this chance to actually touch the lotus feet of Krishna and worship them by chanting his name with all of our existence. Now that may take a little time to develop. Complete surrendered mood in our kirtan. So these types of things are there. So in the beginning, yes, by wonderful, tasty, Prabhupada had this magical touch by tasty food, just like in the temple. Now when Prabhupada talked on the purport of this verse, he gave many different examples. He said, we've got to purify our senses, not just control them. It's not a question of just control. Like in the nectar devotion, vachovegam, manasakrodavegam, jivavegam, udapastavegam, we have to control, not control the senses, control. It's a question of engaging them. In this way, we tolerate the urges. It's not just bottle it up. You know, put a peg over your nose. Earplugs. Plaster over your mouth. Chains over the lower parts. You know, blinkers. Some people do, but that's not our process. Kamendiyani samyamya yaste manasan smaran. Indiyatu mudatma. You may do that, but what is it? You're simply a pretender if the desire is still there, just bottled up. We have to purify our desire, just like with a smell. You're smelling. I can't smell very much, my nose is not working particularly well. But you smell, what can you smell? God, that guy didn't have a bath last night and this morning. Jeez, he should wash his clothes once in a while. God, I'm going to move from here. Whew. He should have, not eaten so much yesterday. Pooh, whatever it is. No, what are we smelling? Well, maybe you are, I don't know. Can you smell the flowers? The aroma of the beautiful flowers off of the Shishi Radhasham Sundar? Smelling the flowers. Wonderful. The arti flower. This morning Vishuddha gave me a flower offered to Srimati Radharani. We're smelling. Or you may be smelling. One time Prabhupada said after the prajari, you should try not to smell before. But after the offering's over, you may smell the aroma of the food, you know? I remember the first time I ever went to the temple. And perhaps many of you have had the same experience. I arrived at a unique time, the right time. Everything, Krishna arranges everything. I arrived at 1 o'clock midday, just after. It was lunchtime, prasadam time. And when the front door of the temple opened, I'd never seen a devotee. I didn't know what they looked like. I didn't know anything. A bit of a shock when I saw them. And the door opened, and this wave of aroma came up the stairs in Bury Place, London. They had a basement. The kitchen was in the basement. And it was like, wow, what's that? The spices and God knows what mixed with the incense. They had an incense factory right in the temple, which really infuriated the neighbors. But anyway, it was right there. And the incense mixed with the spices. And it was like, wow, my nose went crazy. It just went, wow. Wow, what is that? You know, I got intoxicated just by smelling it. Previously, I got intoxicated by smelling marijuana, but this was much better. Much, much better. My nose became attracted, as it always does, you know, like pigs and other animals are always sniffing, you know. Dogs and things, always very attracted. Like this. Whoa, what a smell. It completely captured my attention. Just like my first day in India, and I guess you are that. First day in India. India smells like nowhere on earth. It's quite amazing. Maybe it's not on the earth. But it smells like nothing else. It's incredible. Nose is getting excited. I haven't got any paper tissues or anything. So India, you know, even Delhi Airport, and it was a real run-down shack in those days, you know. The smell was just like, wow. arrived in Mayapur, that smell of Mayapur, you know, the mustard oil on everyone's bodies and the mustardy gunchers and everything. They have a smell of their own. It's out of this world, isn't it? It's like unique, you know. Everything smells unique. The first toilet that you ever go into, it's absolutely incredible, you know, if you can find one. I mean, you find one everywhere, but, you know, it's like, especially if you find a toilet, then you really know what it smells like. I never use them anymore. But so many amazing smells, and the smell of the prasadam, there's nothing like it. Wow. Just captures your attention. Isn't it incredible? Or the smell of the toast, just like the four kumaras. Prabhupada talked about that in this lecture, how the four kumaras became pure devotees by smelling. What did they smell? The tulsi leaves offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord's lotus feet, you know, they're so attractive. The fragrance is incomparable. We haven't got the scent. Our senses are not purified, you know. We may not smell, but some another. When things are offered there, sometimes the smell isn't like any other fragrance. The aroma is different. Everything's different. The taste of the prasadam is different. It's been touched by the lotus feet of the Lord, or by his saliva, or whatever it is. But it's of a different quality altogether. And it purifies our senses. It's just not like having good grub. You know, oh, the pizza, a nice pizza. Hey, he makes good pizza. Gotta get that pizza. You know, it's not, okay, if it's offered to Krishna, it's slowly. But the more we become conscious, this is, you know, offered to Krishna, the more our tongue will become purified. The more we're conscious, when we sit down for prasadam, for instance, sometimes we don't even chant Shri Radha Vidyajalja Dendriyata He Kala, somewhere or another. We don't even bother doing it. Or if some one person chants it, no one repeats. If you did that, you wouldn't get prasadam. If you didn't chant the prayer, you didn't take prasadam, full stop. That was most important, and not just the Sanskrit or Bengali in this case, but then what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything to most. I mean, for those who are from Bengal, it does, of course. But for a lot of those, it doesn't mean anything. Eat! Eat to your full satisfaction! That's all it means. You know, you're not thinking. You know, I don't smell those things. You know, we don't realize what a privilege we're getting, what an opportunity to become purified. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, maybe it's my senses, but sometimes the flowers don't have so much fragrance as they used to do. Even I've seen in the last few years, the fragrance has become lesser and lesser and lesser. Because the earth has become, the fragrance comes from the earth, you know, in the creation. You know that the different elements and the different sense perceptions that develop from the various elements. So from earth comes the perception of smell. But because the earth is becoming so contaminated and so degraded, and what's the word, drawn out all the life out of it, the smell's not coming. The smell's not coming. And if it is a smell, it's a bad smell. It doesn't come. You see, because we're ruining it. Even our body, of course, you know, that's another thing. You know, we're ruined. They get a bad smell. But you know, if someone's very pure, the smell is actually fragrant. Lord King Rishabdev, he could be, the smell of his stool was fragrant. You could smell it from 80 miles away. And it was fragrant. It's pure. To become pure, mode of goodness, enlightened with knowledge, the gates of the body, the holes in the body, they all become purified. Enlightened in mode of goodness. Because they're being properly engaged. We're all conditions. We got our conditionings from the past. So, you know, this, we call them samskaras, impressions from the past. They hang on with us. They hang on. But we have to keep engaging our senses and get, probably that purify. We have to keep fully engaged. He quoted King Ambarish. Savaima Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachansi Vakunda Ganana Vanani. You know, we have to engage all of our senses 24 hours of the day. Don't miss the chance. I did my service. Why are you asking me to do anything else? I did an hour service this morning. I did 3 hours kirtan this morning. You know, okay, neophyte stage, we may be like that, but But you know, we should understand this is a Krishna's kindness. He wants to engage. He's trying to pull us through our senses. Come this way. And our mind is saying, no, go that way. Krishna's pulling us. The beautiful flowers, the decorations on the deity. Krishna's, come. Come. Prabhupada, it's very interesting. And I just finished that lecture, because in that lecture, Srila Prabhupada described how he also talked about the husband with the six wives, and how they pull, and then he talked about, you know, how they snatch the wallet and all these different, those things are there. But as I mentioned earlier, it really refers to our uncontrolled intelligence, which is the real problem. Not even the mind. The mind is what it is. You've got your impressions. We've got to sharpen our intelligence, how we see it, how we deal with it, how we relate with it. The same with the sense objects. We get this set of senses according to our past karma and so on and so forth. And the different sense objects we come across are not by chance. They're a result of our past activity. It's not someone, and don't blame someone else. It's there. We're getting what we because of what we've done in the past. But it's how we relate to it that we have to change. That's called intelligence. It's not so working out how to enjoy it better or something, but it's how do we relate to it properly. How to see things properly. So Prabhupada gave that example. Then he went on to describe how in the human form of life, particularly all of our senses are very, very strong. Normally. Whereas in the animal species and the insect, bird and that, their senses are strong too, no doubt. But they generally speak and have a powerful sense. And he gave the example. And the first example he gave was the fish. He gave this many times. One time in Seattle in 1968, Prabhupada was lecturing. And that lecture was a very fascinating discussion. In the middle of the lecture there was some bells in the background. And someone is, Prabhupada said, what is that? Oh, it's an ice cream van, Srila Prabhupada. It was an ice cream van. Probably none of you know what ice cream is. I don't know. You know what ice cream is? You do? Anyway, it's kind of it's a cold stuff, you know? Cold thing with sugar and stuff like that. Some people like to eat it. I don't know if you do. Anyway, the ice cream van was going by. And someone said, ice cream. Srila Prabhupada said, ice cream? He said, what are they doing? He said, they're trying to canvass, Srila Prabhupada. Canvass? Prabhupada said, you're taking ice cream? Don't eat ice cream, Prabhupada said. This is Maya. That's what he said. He said, this is Maya. They are coming. And the other day we were hearing our Gargamuni was saying, Prabhupada was always saying, come on, come on, come on, come on. So Prabhupada did that then. He said, and they're coming like this. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Come and enjoy. Power is going like this. And when you enjoy, you'll become trapped. And you're finished. That's all. Power said, finished. So Power said, come this way. Maya was going, come this way. Enjoy the pizza and the ice cream. Come, watch the cinema. Go on the internet. Watch a movie. This is all Maya. But the mind's dragged by the senses like this. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. So we have to channel that in a different direction. Prabhupada has given us that opportunity to turn in a different direction. That's the idea. That's the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Not to stop the senses. Not to stop the mind. We cannot do that. It's not within our power. Who are we? The mind is very powerful. The material energy, is very powerful. How we can overcome it? We only have, the whole process is taking shelter of Krishna. Seeing this as an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. So today's verse is mainly about the sense of smell. So then Prabhupada went on after describing then the various kinds of animals. The fish, for instance. He gave the example of a fish. How does the fish get caught? Huh? Bait? Huh? Taste. Yes. You put a worm on a hook. My brother is an addicted fisherman. I watch him. He puts worms on hooks. And he goes, I used to, I don't know. You go fishing, And the fish, although the Prabhupada described the fish's belly is full, but when he sees that wiggly worm, he can't control his tongue. It's like us sometimes, you know. We've already had a full meal, and along comes the gulab or whatever it is. Ha-ha! The tongue starts wiggling. Devotees are enthusiastic. I'll tell a funny story. One time when 1972 in London, it was prasadam time. It was the Sunday feast. Now, all week long, prasadam was pretty simple. We had rice dal chapatis, rice dal chapatis, and rice dal and chapatis every day of the week. So, no sabji, no nothing else like that. No sweets, nothing, no maha, nothing. Unless you happen to be the sannyasi or the temple president. No one else got. Or the head pujari, maybe. So, it was very simple. And the Sunday feast was amazing. Absolutely out of this world. Incredible. Jai Hari was cooking that day. And he was a great cook, but he never cooked very large quantities. Quality, but not quantity, man. So he cooked a fat, and we knew. So everyone was eager to get in. This is one service we were always eager for. And the prasadam hall was in the basement, so they locked the door as the servers would get everything ready. And we're all outside. It's like a, you know, it's like a football stadium or something, and everyone's pushing and shoving, trying to get in first, you know, or a ticket office in you know, Bombay or something, railway ticket office. You queue up, and then when the door opens, it's like, you know, you get crushed, and everyone piles in. So that's what happened. The door opened, and everyone just piled in. It's a midday feast. So everyone just piles in. And, you know, somehow I was a bit timid. I was at the back, right at the back. So the queue was about, I don't know, 20 to 30 voters, but there's a limited ration of everything, rationed. Funny story. So I could see that the samosas and the gulabs and the puris especially were getting low in number. And the doors in front of me, some of them were getting a little bit irritated. They were counting the numbers and they were counting the gulabs and the samosas. And they could see it was going to be touch and go. Touch and go. Will there be one for me? So the line got shorter and shorter, and the puris and the samosas and the gulabs got less and less. And eventually there were no gulabs and no samosa. And maybe one or two puris. And there were other things, rice and dal and halava and this and that were there. But there was no gulabs and no samosas. And the devotee in front of me, his name was Dhiranayaka. He was very, very enthusiastic about prasadam. But he was very, very distressed that the gulabs and the samosas had expired. And it was his turn. And the devotee serving prasadam, we have a laugh about it. I won't mention his name. He's quite a famous devotee now. Was serving prasadam. And what the servers would do, they would make their plates up and put cardboard boxes on top of the plate. So no one could see what was on the plate, for obvious reasons. So the Dhiranayaka came to the end of the queue and he said, "Where's the samosa?" "Prabhu, there's none left." "That's not fair." "Trinada pi sunichena tarora pi sahishna." "Humble and tolerance, Prabhu, is the sign of a Vaishnava. Just be humble." "Humble? I'm hungry. Where's, I bet you've got one samosa or more, haven't you? Mind your own business." "It is my business." "No, it's not. Where's your plate?" I was listening very attentively. Sometimes I do listen attentively. This is one of the times. "Where's your plate?" he said. "Is that your plate behind you under that box? Get your hands off." "No!" He jumped over the tables, bashed the box off. There were four samosas and four gulabs. And he grabbed two of each. And the server turned around, "Get your hands off!" And he grabbed him, and they grabbed each other, and boom, 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 boom. I was shocked. They were rolling across the floor, pounding each other, bang, 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 like this. This is called enthusiasm for devotional service. Eagerness. Lolium. Rupa Goswami says, the price of Krishna consciousness is lolium. You've got to be eager. So they were certainly eager about their samosas and gulab. But it's better not to take it out on the devotees. That's not the best way to do it. Anyway, sometimes these things happen. This attraction, this higher taste for Pankajangri Prabhu, we were discussing the other night about the difficulty which we all face. You could say, I was going to read a lot of nectar from Nectar of Devotion and different things, but time and tide wait for no man, and time is flying by, and we'll see. But I was just going to reflect on a little few ways that we could, particularly with the sense of smell. The lovely smell of prasadam is always captivating our senses. Of course, some people, in the mode of ignorance, they're attracted to other things. I was in Burma one time, and my God, some of the things that some of the people there are attracted to, it's unbelievable. They have this one preparation, Thailand also, the one preparation where they put all dead insects into a bucket, into a barrel. And they just, you know, they put some kind of soy sauce or some kind of liquid in there, and they just let them ferment. And it just turns into a kind of a liquid, and they drain it off, and they put that on their rice. And they love the smell. It just captures their nostrils. Can you believe it? And when the smell of ghee, they can't tolerate it. It's horrible. Or the smell of incense. Some people, you know, it's terrible. But they love the smell of something really horrible, like fried fish or something like that. You know. Dreadful smell. It depends on, you know, it's all to do with the purification of the senses, which mode we're covered by. We come to Krishna consciousness, so we don't want to smell anything unless it's offered to Krishna. You know, the purification of senses. Same thing, we don't taste anything unless it's offered to Krishna. This is a sign of little advancement in Krishna consciousness. So the Prabhupada has given us all these opportunities. We don't want to hear anything unless it's about glorification of Krishna or his devotees. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to do it? I'm going to just refer to a couple of little notes which I made, and just to remind me of a few little things which we may have forgotten. One thing Prabhupada did say, I'll just kick the ball off. In that lecture in 76, Prabhupada said, therefore, especially as our mind, our eyes, our tongue, our ears, our nose, our sense of touch, everything is very attracted to the sense objects. It's very strong, especially those coming from Western countries. Very strong conditioning. So Prabhupada said deity worship. He said everyone, deity worship. Now what that means, it doesn't mean everyone has to go on the altar. Prabhupada then went on to describe what it means, that everyone should bring something and offer it to the deity. Become conscious of the deity. Think of how I can engage my senses to sing nicely, like the 24-hour kirtan party. They're not just singing for the sake of enjoying them. They're not trying to enjoy their senses. They're singing for the pleasure of Krishna's senses. This is how it works. We start to learn how to do things for, if we think that I am here to satisfy my senses, that's why we are suffering. We have to cultivate the understanding that we are here to satisfy Krishna's senses. Just like in preaching. We're not preaching just to get results. I did the most books. I made the most of us. Preaching means to actually please Krishna. Preaching means to increase Krishna's pleasure by enabling other persons to develop a mood which will bring pleasure to Krishna. To bring people into the association, let's say, ultimately, of Krishna for his pleasure. To increase the enjoyment of Krishna's pleasure. Although it's unlimited, it never ends. It increases more and more. So when one jiva returns to render pure service to Krishna, it increases his pleasure. That's preaching. That's the deeper mood of preaching. Our mood is like on the surface a little bit. Numbers, figures, you know, whatever it may be, you know, reciprocation. It's all well and good, but that's not the deep down. So we start to develop that a little bit sometimes by thinking of what would Krishna want? Why is this? Why are we going on the street on Sankirtan? Why? Why are we going out in the wind, the rain, the snow? We're not getting paid. I hope we're not getting paid for doing it. Well, if you are, what to do, but we don't get paid for going on Harinam Sankirtan, do we? Maybe your temple does, I don't know. If you do, you lose the benefit. You won't get the result. Devotional service is ahoitakiya patiyata, unmotivated, uninterrupted. We're not asked for anything in return. It's just our nature to serve. So it's like that. And that's our real nature. It's uncovering our real nature. is not subduing the conditioned nature. It's taking that situation and learning how to make it favorable. Learning how to make it favorable. So deity worship was one major thing, and that everyone can do. Bowing down in front of the deity and saying the pranams properly is deity worship, as we heard the other day. That is deity worship. Offering a flower, even looking at the deity with a favorable attitude, is even an unfavorable attitude Krishna may accept. Just seeing him. My nose is very excited this morning. So whatever, smelling the flowers, smelling the incense, smelling the garlands, smelling the whatever, if it's offered to Krishna. The whole phrase, this is deity worship. Different aspects of deity worship. Purification through so many channels. Hearing Krishna Katha is deity worship. It's all part of pleasing Krishna. Hearing, chanting with the tongue, glorifying the deity. This is deity worship. It's not all about physical maneuvers or memorizing mantras. That's there if it's necessary, of course. But that's not the essence. Consciously being clean and regulated is deity worship. Coming before the deity for his pleasure. This is deity worship. We don't just dress any old way to show off to get a boy or a girlfriend. Latest fashions. It's for the pleasure of the deity. Everything is for their pleasure. This is deity worship. So this is how we become purified. Now how else can we think? Think of some other things now. We've mentioned some have already passed and gone, but some other ways that we can purify our, let's say, our tendency or our senses to wander towards the sense objects, whether it's the nose or the ear or the eye or the tongue or whatever it is. Touch. Is there any other way? Come on. Come on. No other way? Yes, Mother. Chanting? Can someone in between speak up loud? Yeah, that's what I thought you said. Yeah, chanting. Chanting the holy names. Yeah, this is the, you can say, the fundamental practice which Srila Prabhupada has emphasized probably more than anything else in terms of purification. In terms of engaging, not it's water in the root of the tree, all the branches become nourished. It's not just one and one. It's not you just have to do one. Even if you do one, it benefits everything. So chanting with the tongue and the ears, hearing, purifies all of one's existence. It purifies our consciousness, you know, which you could say moves through the various holes within the body. That avadhuta moves through the various halls. So, but the chanting is the Chaitodharapanamarjanam, is the most purifying activity. Now in daily worship, that's why Lord Chaitanya said all the activities, chanting Hare Krishna is the most important. Daily worship also must be accompanied by chanting. It's not just a question of doing things. Anyone can do that. You can have a robot. I was told the Krishna Kshetra Prabhu one time, I said, Prabhu, you know, it was a long time ago, you know, we have a real trouble with deity, with getting pujaris. He said, it was the same everywhere. Can't help you. He said, but we're working on it. We're actually working on making a robot who will do it all perfectly. On time, everything, perfect number of circles. 4, 2, 3, 7. Press on the button. 4, 2, 3, 7. Press on the button. 3 over the head. 7 round the body. Press on the button. 7 round the body. Pick up the fan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Down with the fan. Pick up the fan. Boom, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum. Boom, boom, boom. Boom. You know, anyone can do that, you know. You don't need, you know, it's not a pujari. I mean, of course they have to do, but you know, it's not the real essence of it all. He said, we're working on a robot to do it. Then there are no more problems in ISKCON, all solved. The robot will come out on time. Put on a tape recorder because there's no one else there. Or maybe sing itself. Hare Krishna. Whatever it is. You know, that's not devotional service. It's from the heart, you know. We've got to develop a little bit more than just the mechanics. And the more we become conscious in what we're doing, whether it's chanting Hare Krishna or taking prasadam or worshipping the deity, whatever it is, then the more chance the Lord will reciprocate. It's very personal. It's like if you're talking to someone and you're not paying attention to them, well, they can feel it, can't they? I'm talking to you, you're not paying any attention, I can feel it. I don't know if I can carry on, maybe not. I'll just walk away as soon as I can, usually. It's a waste of time for everyone. So Krishna's there, he's waiting, he's just waiting for us. He's always there, he's just waiting. Come on, come on, come on. Like Prabhupada, come on. Always there. He has to take advantage. So that's another thing, daily worship, chanting the holy name. So we try to be attentive. This is our worship. We can't say that we're on the highest platform, but our worship right now is we're trying, we have to have faith. The other morning in Japa, I was just, the holy name was just like saying, have faith. Depend upon me. I will reciprocate. You don't have to make all these separate endeavors, just depend upon me. Everything will come. Just chant and hear. Chant and hear. Just keep trying. Keep trying. Don't give up. Keep trying. That's the process of devotional service, of surrender. What else? Yeah, going on parikrama. Coming to the holy dham. Going on parikrama, you know, it's worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. This is another process. Taking the dust of the dham and smearing over the body. This is one of the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj. You know, we have to take that dust. Even if you don't want parikrama, you stay here in the Krishna Bharam temple. Prabhupada said, everything's here. Just going on parikrama around the Krishna Bharam temple. You've traversed the whole universe. Everything's here, just being in the dham. You can make your home in the temple, everything a dham. But it's very powerful. It's very powerful. It's holy dham. Take advantage of it. Don't be like an animal coming here, yeah? Just to eat and sleep and this and that. We have to hear, and Prabhupada's emphasis is we have to hear, hearing, 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 hearing the subject matter. Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said we have to hear it regularly. The five most potent items of devotional service are very important, and they're all going on. We're sitting here in front of the deity. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We're associating with devotees. We're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're in the holy dham. Right this minute, all five are going on. Very powerful experience. Being here. Take advantage of it. Don't waste it. Going down Loy Bazaar. Prabhupada one time said, you won't find Krishna in Loy Bazaar. You can also, but depends what you're going for. You may be going for service of Krishna, but just hanging around in Loy Bazaar is not what we're here for. We're here to hear. Prabhupada one time, and then no one was there. He said, where are all the devotees? They're around Loy Bazaar. Call them all back. He said, you won't find Krishna in Loy Bazaar. Here. Here. Don't be like an animal. Come to the holy place to hear. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Regularly sharpens. Now another thing is, what is it we have to do is to sharpen our intelligence. You know, we've got our baggage from previous lifetimes, the body you've got, even the mind with the unending desires that flood in. You've got to sharpen our intelligence. So that we can, with a little knowledge, stop. No, that's going to lead to that. Haven't you had enough experience? Can't you remember what happened last time? Can't you remember why you came here in the first place? You didn't come here just because, you know, you just became, you know, the CEO of, you know, some famous company or something. That's not why you came in here. You already had an experience that this material world is a suffering place. You're going to try again. Pankajanga Prabhu and Sal were talking about this the other night. Although we know the material world is suffering, we still want to give it up. We still keep it, you know, there. We still think we can enjoy it, one way or another. We still have that hangover. We haven't quite, you know, become sober yet. You know, so we have to constantly remember these things. Study Srimad Bhagavatam here and hear from the great devotees. This is the purification process by hearing and serving them. We have to serve those great devotees. By that service we become purified. Consciousness. In other words, the way we look through the senses, even if you are perceiving material desires, you're not going to be attracted to them. They may come like, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, like rivers into the ocean, but you're not disturbed. Remain undisturbed. That's the point. When one's intelligence is connected to Krishna, even if it's only with knowledge of Krishna conscious philosophy. It can help us to not become a victim, to go down that channel of contemplating those objects of the senses or wallowing in our own material condition, but rather taking shelter of Krishna. This is an opportunity, Krishna, crying to Krishna, calling to Krishna, help. It's what we're doing when we're chanting Hare Krishna. Constant chanting, always. Don't just chant mechanically. Keep chanting, keep chanting, keep chanting. Danger at every step. Full engagement, as we heard earlier, Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindaya. Keep your senses engaged. Prabhupada many times he'd say, if you want to please me, keep engaged 24 hours a day. Don't waste a second. Don't waste time. What else? Don't give those words. Idle mind is the devil's workshop. Don't give them a chance. You know, if you flood out the field, the seeds, they cannot grow. So we keep ourselves engaged. Whatever it is, devotional service, nine types of devotional service, keep engaged, keep engaged, keep engaged. All the time. This will, at least, desires may still be there. Samskaras from the past may still be there. Tendencies may still be there. But they will not overcome us. They will, and they will not increase if we keep ourselves engaged. What else? Pardon? Prasad, of course. Very important. If you take food not offered to Krishna, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, your mind will become wicked. We have to make sure that that is offered with love and devotion. Now, one of the keys which I'll mention, for me anyway, is, you know, we may do our best. Now, this is the month of Damodar. Now, this is, for all of us, a very wonderful experience, and wonderful month, and wonderful pastimes are there. Now, several things stick out there. Now, one of the famous things, of course, is Mother Yasoda trying to bind Krishna. Now, everyone probably knows this, that she tried and tried and tried, but that rope was still 2 inches, not 2 inches, 2 fingers too short. 2 fingers too short. Then, those 2 fingers represent our endeavor. We make all endeavor, but that's not enough. What is the other thing? Pardon? Yeah, well, Krishna's mercy. It means Krishna's mercy. Without Krishna's mercy, it's not possible. We have to make all endeavor and depend upon Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy really means Guru Bhakti or Guru Kripa. Service to the Guru. The mercy of the Guru, without the mercy of the Guru, one cannot get the mercy of Krishna. That we know, every morning we sing. So that Prabhupada said, my Guru Kripa means the instructions I'm giving you. That's his mercy. So we take advantage of those instructions. That's how we get Krishna's mercy. That's the strength. That's the protection. Coming to the morning program, trying to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. That's our, like an immunization or inoculation. That's our protection from the waves of material existence. We won't get dragged away. There's always a risk, but that will help protect us from becoming victimized. Right? So it's Krishna's mercy, which is really the key. Now, in this pastime, it's very interesting. Many wonderful things going on in the background. We'll just mention one. But you know, when Krishna was bound up by Mother Yasoda, he was so pleased with her loving endeavor. When her endeavor became complete, without any other, you know, diversion, then he allowed her, because he was always like that, but he was just showing. He allowed her to bind him out of his loving reciprocation. But then at that point of time, he glanced at the twin Arjuna trees. Now these trees, of course, they were been standing there for thousands of years in the court of Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna was seeing them every day. It wasn't like this was the first day he saw them. He was seeing them every day. But this day he glanced at them differently. Krishna was tied up to the mortar. And he looked at those two Arjuna trees. And he said, today I will give them my mercy. And it looked like he caused a lot of mischief. But actually his motive was, I'm going to give mercy to these twin trees today. Now, they were none other than Nalakuvara and Manigriva, the sons of Kuvera, who had cursed, or say blessed, whichever way you look at it, by Narada to take birth as trees. They'd been stood there for thousands of years in the body of trees, suffering. Can you imagine a demigod to a tree, what it's like? Jeez. Terrible. So they'd been stuck there for thousands of years. So Krishna was merciful. He looked at those trees, and he thought, today I'm going to give them mercy. Why today? Not today, on the day when he was bound up, Diwali day. Why? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that on that day, Krishna could appreciate how they felt. Because he was bound up, he could feel what it was like to be bound up, with Mother Yasoda saying, "For you, you naughty boy, no more sweets, no more toys, no more playing with your boyfriends. You're finished," she said to him. "You're tied up now. This is it. It's over. Your mess and your nonsense is over." He was feeling like they felt. Your nonsense is over. When you feel like that, then you can feel what others are going through. Like Prabhupada. He could feel for us. He's given us his mercy to try to untie us or release us from the bondage. But we're very keen, sometimes too keen, to stay bound up. Even though we have all good opportunity. Still, by the association of devotees and so on and so forth, there's still hope for us yet. There's always hope. Ashabandha. Hope against hope. You just keep chanting, associate with devotees, because the alternative, there isn't really one. We've already experienced that. All right, well, our time is, there are a few other many things, no doubt, which we could discuss on this subject matter. But we'll leave it there. Our time is flying by. It's 9:20 and Prasadam is waiting, or maybe it's all gone. Maybe I'll be cursed to have to go without for I don't know what. But Krishna will provide. Try to depend. Try to see. Another wonderful thing is try to see. The one thing is see that the universe is another very interesting verse in the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Thereafter, when the Supreme Purusha desired to smell odors, the nostrils and the respiration generated. The nasal instrument and odors came into existence, and the controlling deity of air, carrying smell, also became manifested. So you can always relate these things. And this is one of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, one of the primary teachings, is learning how to relate everything in our existence to Krishna. Whatever it is, whatever mode of nature it's in, it's related to Krishna. Whatever, you know, object or form it's taking, it has a relationship with Krishna. So this is intelligence, learning how to do that. So similarly with the smell, hearing a verse like that, we'd have no question of smelling. There would be no air, there would be no smell, there would be no odor, there would be no object of smell. There would be nothing, no consciousness of smell or breathing or anything, if it wasn't for the fact that the Lord in his universal Purusha form, first of all, he has these capacities. They are there in the spiritual world. And there is smelling, there is tasting, there is touch, there is everything is there in the spiritual world. We just have to learn how to utilize our present condition, senses, mind and everything, in a way which will become purified and eligible so that we can actually be released from the city of nine gates. And can actually realize our actual spiritual form with no conditioning and no attraction for the material sense objects. We just see them as objects for Krishna's pleasure. See everything in that light. That's the, you can say, stage in our progress. Is that an ice cream van coming? Ice cream! Prabhupada was laughing and laughing when he was speaking those things. Everyone laughed. You eat ice cream? No, we did not eat ice cream. This is Maya, he said. He did say later on, if you make it yourself and offer it to Krishna, you could eat it. But why are we making it? For Krishna's pleasure. Are you going to eat it also? No. Maybe. Who are you making it for? Maybe it's a bit mixed. I'm sure Krishna likes ice cream. I do. I'm part and parcel of Krishna, so he must. Pizza! My favorite pizzas I will offer to Krishna. It's okay in the beginning, but, you know, a little bit more. What does Krishna want? That's our meditation. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.